When negotiators gather at the United Nations climate talks in Paris this December, one thing you may not know is that an entire continent on planet Earth will not be represented. Heather Goldstone is science correspondent for WCAI and WGBH Radio. Welcome, Heather.
Good to be here.
They missed a continent? What?
A little surprising, huh? But it doesn't actually have its own population or government. So, yeah, Antarctica doesn't get its own delegation.
That's my guess. But that's a big issue. It's a big deal.
It is. In fact, Antarctica has been called a wild card because the entire continent is basically made of ice. And in extreme situations, if that were to all melt, it would add an enormous amount of water to the oceans that could add up to several meters of sea level rise.
So not represented. That's obvious. They wouldn't necessarily be represented. Nobody lives there except for scientists. But to not put it on the agenda officially?
Well, Antarctica definitely is part of what is, you know, when the UN's science body, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, or the IPCC, is setting the science stage for these negotiations and talking about what the future could look like, Antarctica is definitely in there. But it's maybe not represented as fully as it could be. And that's because to date, a lot of the science has been somewhat uncertain with regard to these worst case scenarios, whether we could see the entire continent melting or whether there would just be slightly faster melting as the air gets warmer, but nothing to really worry about. And because it's so uncertain and because what the IPCC has tried very explicitly to do is to be very conservative scientifically, they're not trying to necessarily go for these uncertain extreme scenarios.
We think of the IPCC report as the real solid, you know, scientifically based, valid scenario of what's going to happen. But why would they be conservative about Antarctica here? That seems odd.
Well, it's simply that the science has been uncertain, that it seemed like these extreme scenarios of melting or destabilization on a widespread basis across Antarctica maybe could happen, but it didn't really seem necessarily plausible, or we didn't have the evidence to really support that. But as the science has progressed, it's becoming more and more certain. One example is a study that was just released. Sarah Das, one of the scientists on that, and also her postdoctoral researcher, Luke Trussell, looking specifically at one piece of the Antarctica puzzle. And that is, as the air warms, it warms the tops of these glaciers and ice shelves and starts to melt them from the top down. And they were looking at, under two different emission scenarios, either business as usual, keeping emitting carbon as we are doing, or else reducing carbon dioxide emissions, how much melting we might see this top-down melting. And they found that, in fact, regardless of what we do, by 2050, we'll probably see a doubling in that melting. But that if we curb our emissions, by 2100, we'll still be seeing accelerated melting. But most of the continent, the ice shelves around the edges, and these ice shelves are what protrude out over the water, that those would mostly still be stable. But that under a high emissions scenario, what we would see is actually widespread destabilization of those ice shelves. And as those start to collapse, that then frees the land-based glaciers to move more quickly into the ocean and start contributing to sea level rise. And the thing with this one study is it's one piece of the puzzle. But Luke Trussell, the lead author on this study, says that it's really part of a growing consensus that as we learn more, these worst-case scenarios are becoming more and more plausible.
There is a growing scientific consensus that some of these scenarios, perhaps some of the more alarming scenarios, are perhaps not as far-fetched as we might have thought previously.
Post-Paris, do you think Antarctica will take a more central role to the discussions about what has to happen, the targets, that sort of thing?
You know, I think the science is really rapidly evolving, and the IPCC science reports have to reflect what's been going on in the science community. So as they start the process for the next set of those, they're going to be including more of this science that's going on. This recent study, other studies showing rapid melting of both West and East Antarctica. And so I do think it will start to show up in the science, and that will trickle its way up to the negotiations gradually.
Heather Goldstone, science correspondent for WGBH and WCAI. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Support for The Takeaway comes from Curious.com, committed to helping people learn something new every day with more than 20,000 lessons on stock market tips, storytelling, shaken cocktails, and more. Learn more at Curious.com/PRI.